What would Jesus say to the temptation that we wouldn't be like? Jesus would say this. He'd say this in Luke chapter 6. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. In fact, he doubles down. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Why? For your reward is great in heaven. See, again, we're not living for now. We're not living for the acceptance of humanity now. We're living for the reward of Jesus Christ to come.
Hello, listeners. It is Live in the Light, and today we are in 1 Samuel chapter 8, learning about four warning signs of compromise. Compromise to culture is rampant, and rampant in the church, and it can be in our lives as well. The wise person will hear this message and examine their life, figure out where they might be turning away from or even ignoring the gentle guidance of the Lord. We have so much to learn and so far to go, but with the help and grace of the Holy Spirit, we can have wisdom and walk in his ways. So let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Here's Pastor Robbie.
Compromise of character and desires in regards to FOMO, the fear of missing out. There is such a fear of missing out what the world is going to bring and give that they are willing to sacrifice, in some cases, their most precious characteristics to fit in and not be left out. Really, FOMO is the opposite of what Jesus taught. I mean, Jesus taught you're gonna miss out. Jesus taught you're not gonna fit in all the time. Jesus taught you're gonna be hated. Jesus taught people are not gonna like you because of me. Jesus taught, listen, there's gonna come a cost. You can take up your cross. Jesus taught people will revile you. There will be a missing out. And that's where the believer in Christ must stand apart again from the worldliness that is around them. What's so tragic about all of this, though, is that an increased worldliness, whether you realize it or not, the more you fill yourselves with the world, the less you fill yourselves with the Lord. So on the screen for you here, just look at this is what the people were doing, okay? Indications of worldliness. They were seeking the culture. They saw the culture. Let's be like the nations around us. They sought their own wisdom. They rejected Samuel and God's wisdom. And then they sought their own ways. Okay, so this is what was driving them. It was tragic because it was based on worldliness. Proverbs 16, this is so important. A moment of wisdom. The phone is ringing. It's for you. It's wisdom. And wisdom says this, ready? There's a way that seems. This is our world. So much. Young people, listen up, listen up, listen up, okay? For you right now, all of us. There's a way that seems right. Seems right. Seems right. Seems right. But in the end, the result of that is death. See, this takes wisdom. There's a way right now in our world that seems right. Everyone's saying it. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's clapping it. But the Lord says, but the end, it leads to death. So wisdom is like, do I compromise now to be dead forever and separated from Christ? Or do I have a cost now with conviction to result in everlasting life with the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's the question of the day. I mean, Jesus said it differently, but really similarly in Matthew 7, there's the wide road that leads to destruction, which is easy and many will find it. There's a way that seems right. Everyone's on it, but its end is death. And notice this too, okay, tons of principles of wisdom today. Increasing worldliness guarantees decreasing godliness. The more we are filling our lives with the world, necessarily and theologically, we will see a decrease in godliness within our lives. A decrease in God's power, a decrease in God's wisdom, a decrease in God's favor, a decrease in God's overall blessing. The more we pursue the world, the less we have Christ's power and again, favor upon our lives. And there's no real middle ground. It's just, that's the way it goes. You either, we heard last week, you either want the one or you want the other. You will love the one or hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In that case, what Jesus says, you cannot serve both God and the world. And you think about the temptations, be like the nations, right? All around us. The temptations to fit in, the temptations to go down the cultural current, the temptation to capitulate, the temptation to dress like the world, the temptation to sing or speak like the world, the temptation to look like the world. You know, some more specific examples, like so many today, like the world all around them, are living together before marriage, okay? That's sinful. I want to be as clear as I possibly, you can rationalize it all the way you want. Living together before marriage is unacceptable based on scripture. How many people in our day today and people in this church having sex before marriage? So many. Choosing, it's called, the Bible calls it fornication. I have to be as clear as I can out of the love of grace of the truth. It's just sin. It cannot be blessed. But so many rational, everyone's doing it. Everyone says, I know, I heard everything. I mean, all of you, I heard every excuse and reason ever. I've heard it all. All the elders have. But with an open Bible and an honest look, there's no way that you can justify. But this is what worldliness is doing, creeping in, lowering the standards, making excuses, and increasing the impurity that's going to result in a decreased godliness and overall blessing of the Lord. So you have to put off the old and put on the new. I mean, even this month we're in right now, right? We are being commanded to bless, which God condemns. The increased pressure of the world around us. So many churches are in the midst of compromise. They're compromising doctrine. They're compromising Christ-like character. They're compromising biblical values because the pressure of the world around them. They've felt the pressure. They hear the voices. They look around like, we want to be like the nations. And that just won't end well. So just personal question for you right now. As we go through this, where is worldliness right now creeping into your life? I pray the Lord is giving you at least one specific example right now in your life. Where are you being tempted with worldliness right now, where it's creeping in to increase the world, to decrease the Lord? May the Holy Spirit give us at least one area and aspect of our lives that we can identify and to understand again. See, wisdom says you won't be able to pursue the one and keep fervency for the Lord in the other. You try to tell yourself you can. I know. I feel that temptation too sometimes, and the enemy tries to say it, but you can't. You can't do it, right? Smashing the idols of sin to increase, again, the path and the fervency and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So a huge warning sign for us today, like the people, each generation must choose, man. And they're like, I want to be like the nations. And Samuel's like, not going to go great, which leads us to warning sign number three, disregard for the counsel of God. Disregard for the counsel of God. Look at verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, these will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. Look at this. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and his horsemen and to run before his chariots. Verse 12, he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, fifties to plow his ground and reap his harvest and make implements of war and equip his chariots. Look at verse 13. He will take your daughters. Verse 14, he will take the best of your fields and vineyards. Verse 15, he will take the 10th of your grain and your vineyards and give it to his officers and servants. Verse 16, he will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to work. Verse 17, he will take the 10th of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. Verse 18, and in that day you will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. Notice, he will take and take and take and take. You want a king? You want a king your way? He will take and take and take. It's been wisely said, the greatest judgment can give to us is to give us everything we want. We don't know what's best for us. Can you imagine if all your prayers were answered exactly as you decided? Can you imagine if Jesus presented himself to us like a genie in a bottle? Whatever you want, man, I'll give it. Can you imagine how disastrous our lives would end up? I mean, honestly, if we got everything that we wanted, can you imagine? The greatest judgment we can get is God giving us everything we ever wanted. Listen, by the way, this is why God allows suffering and discipline and heartache and trials, because God disciplines those whom he loves. Because sometimes the very thing we need is less of what we want and more of what God knows that we need in terms of character. God knows what's best for us. So a huge warning sign in our lives is when we start trying to give counsel to God, which is what the Israelites were doing. We must be so careful in this regard, right? Asking for things we have no idea. Psalm 106, very powerful. Look at these verses, man. I had the New King James Version because I love the way it was said here. Notice this, summarizing God's people, really the Old Testament. They soon forgot his works, right? Each generation must choose. Prone to wander, Lord, I fear. Prone to leave the God I love. They did not wait for his counsel, right? So this is what happens so often. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness of all places, right? They forget, they don't wait. They pursue their own lustful desires. They tested God in the desert. And look at these verses. And he gave them their request. But whenever you get everything you want, you will also get this. I love this phrase. It says, he sent a leanness into their soul. You get what you want, but with that, you get an emptiness, a leanness, a dissatisfaction, a hopelessness. It comes with it because the things of the world will never, ever satisfy. They result in a leanness of our souls. And some of you are exactly there right now. That verse just described you perfectly. You've tried the world, you're searching after the world, longing for the world, but there's a leanness of soul. See, the Bible's like, hey, wisdom, 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 through warning, warning. Don't do it your own way. Don't do it by your own wisdom. Don't do it by worldliness. It will not work. Notice the end result of God's people getting what they want. Verse 17, look at that, verse 17. You shall become slaves. Fascinating. You shall become slaves. Such a point of wisdom here, eh? Hey, hey, the more we get what we want, the more that we are enslaved to those desires. Think about it, right? Absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? The more power we long for and lust after, the more we become enslaved to that power and control. The more we long for lust, absolutely biblical fact. We place ourselves under the idol and the enslavement of lustful desires. If we keep giving ourselves to that, it starts to own us. We are slaves to that addictive lust that corrupts and ruins our heart and soul. I mean, so many of us, we just know that's true. Lived it. How about pride? This desire, everything has to be about us, and we become enslaved to the pursuit and path of pride, substances, longing for that quick fix, longing for that personal temporal feeling, longing for that drug, substance, whatever it is, liquid. And we give ourselves to that, and because, again, the way sin works, if we're not careful, after a period of time, we actually become enslaved to that addiction. We become enslaved to money. The love of money takes over and we are enslaved and caught in a prison of longing for that which will never, ever satisfy. And then look at how telling verse 18 is. Verse 18, God says, then you will cry out, paraphrasing, because you've gotten what you've chosen. See, you get everything what you want and then you cry out for help. Because it ends up being a disaster. Such wisdom here today that we need. We cannot disregard the counsel of his word. Why? Ready? Because God is way smarter than you. Do you know that? Do you know that God is smarter than you and I? Do you know that? Like, honestly, let me ask you this. You say you know that. Do you live that way? Do you live as though God is infinite in wisdom and we are finite? And we often major in, I'll just say it lightly, nicely, non-wisdom. God is really smart. I remember when I was, so I was, 20 years of my life was say it nicely, non-wisdom. And lots of disastrous tendencies in my life. I come to Christ, I get saved. I just, my eyes were opened. I could not fathom the meaning and purpose and depth of life in Jesus Christ and relationships. Like, I was searching for all these things my whole life. I come to Jesus Christ broken, and then I'm forgiven and cleansed and saved and born again and made new. And I wake up from my death sleep and I look around and I'm like, this is life in Christ. This is possible. I remember saying to myself over and over, the ways of Jesus just work. The ways of God just work. Like, it's just remarkable to me. I've been saying it ever since. Like, you just follow the wisdom of God and you will be on a path to blessing of some kind. The world offered everything, delivered nothing. And then Jesus Christ offers forgiveness of sins from my own brokenness and contrition. And then my life is filled to the brim with purpose and life and certainty and hope and meaning and joy and passion. It's not easy. It's so wonderful. Filled with trial, but so awesome. So much difficulty, but guaranteed hope. The ways of God just work. One of my son's high school friends recently was talking to a couple of his high school teachers, and I think talking about the Christian faith, and his teachers aren't believers. He's talking about faith. The teachers admitted, yes, we try to raise our children biblical values because we know they work. There's a whole other conversation there that you could have, right? But again, people recognizing there's such wisdom. The best business principles and books and ethics that are written are all based on scripture, whether they know it or not. Because why? Because God knows what he's doing. And a principle of wisdom right now, and just the generation that is here and up and coming, listen, you must choose. You must decide the ways of foolishness and destruction in the world or the ways of wisdom and life and blessing in Jesus Christ, right? We are living in a nation founded upon this entire Western world on Judeo-Christian values, built on the wisdom of the principles of God. And that is why, again, there's been so much blessing over so many decades. We are in a moment now where we are discarding that wholesale. We are rejecting that, we are dismissing that, we are despising that, and what we are doing is we are moving more and more closely now to total disaster and now societal collapse. That's what happens when you reject the inerrant truth and design of God, because the ways of God just work. If you reject God's ways, it won't work. I had some examples from our day, and I use these here too, just compassion and grace, and say, but listen, I can't live by lies, and neither should you be able to. And this is why I say, so that just this week, I was sending a test message, and I was scrolling over some emojis. I like using emojis from time to time. And I came across one, like, that looks weird. What is that? You know, it's kind of small. My eyes are getting faint, trying to see what it is. I scroll over it, and I see it says pregnant person. And I'm like, no, that doesn't exist. And beside it was another one. It said pregnant man. And I was like, no, that's not true. I want to be compassionate, loving, gracious, but I cannot say what's not true. There's no generation in history that would see such a thing and be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. There's not one in the entire history of the world that would understand anything what is being said there. We have increasing amount of children now throughout North America, wherever else, that are in classrooms or they are identifying as animals. Like, for real, like they're seriously acting like and talking like whatever it is and identifying as cats. You have teachers that are operating now close to zoos as opposed to classrooms. Like, I wish I was exaggerating. I'm not. This is what's happening. There is no generation in the history of our world that would be able to make sense of what I just said. Ever. I also heard this week three grade 8 boys from Wisconsin that are being charged with Title IX in the States of sexual harassment because they mispronounced a girl in their classroom. They called her. And they are under now this massive investigation for harassment, sexual harassment, because they mispronounced a girl. They refer to as her. We are on the brink of societal collapse. These things just can't... They cannot hold together. Again, you're gonna hear my heart in this, man. Like, I want compassion and I want love and humility and grace, but we need clarity. And if we don't have clarity, compassion just falls flat. And if we lose the truth, loved ones, we lose everything. We lose everything. And God has made it so clear in his word that we understand what he has said. And for that, again, Solzhenitsyn said, again, he coined that phrase, we will not live by lies. We can't. We can't say something is true when we know it's not. It's impossible. Paul predicted this in 2 Timothy 4, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and lusts and desires. And then see the result of this accumulation of teachers, they will turn away from listening to the truth. And what happens? And then you wander off into myths, you wander off into nonsensical whatever. You wander off into things that just can't possibly make sense. He warned us this would happen, and this is where we are. So we can never disregard the counsel of God. It's a tough time to live though, isn't it? Like again, this culture, this was not the case, not in this way when this church even began. That's how fast this has happened. It's a tough time when there's such a temptation to dismiss God's eternal truths. You feel it, I feel it. We're tempted to dismiss God's eternal truths, everything from the design of man and woman, whatever it is, the things that we talked about. Why? So we're not called a dinosaur, a bigot, or an idiot. I get it. What would Jesus say to that though? What would Jesus say to the temptation that we wouldn't be like? Jesus would say this. He'd say this in Luke chapter 6, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on the account of the Son of Man. In fact, he doubles down. He says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Why? For your reward is great in heaven. See, again, we're not living for now. We're not living for the acceptance of humanity now. We're living for the reward of Jesus Christ to come. And you're in good company. So they did with their fathers, they did to the prophets. That's tough stuff, eh? But it's really clear, isn't it? That's what Jesus would say. Filled with compassion, filled with love, filled with grace. Listen, filled with truth. Filled with truth, because there cannot be true love apart from truth. It's the truth that sets us free. And if we lose the truth, then we lose everything. We need clarity. We need clarity. Warning sign number four, briefly but importantly, obstinate disobedience. Obstinate disobedience. Look at verse 19 now, okay? But the people, after hearing this crystal clear warning, the people, obstinate, stubborn, rebellious, insisting on their own way, they refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, exclamation mark. Be very afraid when our hearts are brought to that. No, but there shall be a king over us. Why? That we also may be like all the nations. Notice that our king may judge us and go before us and fight our battles. I meet with Pastor Greg Vandula every week to talk about the sermon and small group questions. And he observed this and stuff that he was reading and came up with. And he said, it's interesting that the people want a king so the king might be over them, judge them, go before them and fight for them. And Greg's response was, isn't that what God was supposed to do for them? God is the one to be over them, to go before them, to fight for them and judge them. But you see, this is what compromise does. What compromise does is you seek from the world what can only be given by God. And then the world disappoints, and then the Lord is left behind. And one of the most serious signs of compromise is what the people here were experiencing, willful, obstinate disobedience. Quick question. Is there any area of our lives right now where we are moving towards or we are in willful, obstinate disobedience? Is there any area of our lives right now where we have said, no, no, I won't do it. Forget it. Nope, absolutely not. And the way we're living right now, again, this is a massive call for wisdom today and you can feel it. And the Lord is saying, if you refuse to go in the direction of God's wisdom, you are then guaranteed to be losing out on something and headed towards what's not gonna end up well and good. So let's be aware, right? Warning signs today. Danger, right? Be careful, a warning sign, but a warning sign in terms of our lives is not enough. We need a welcome sign as well, right? So we want to end here today too. So notice this on this slide here. I have a warning sign. And the warning sign is warning, don't die, right? So that's helpful, but it's not enough. It's not telling me how to live. But then there's a welcome sign in Jesus Christ that says, welcome to eternal life. Jesus' arms spread on the cross to die for your sins and arms spread across to welcome you. So the danger, warning, sin and death, but now the welcome sign of life, eternal life only found in Jesus Christ. Again, it's so interesting. Eh? This whole chapter is about the people wanting a king. Or be like the nations, be like the world. Give us a king, right? On their terms, on their way and their timing. But they want a king, and because it's on their terms and timing, it would be a king that would take from them, exploit them, and eventually enslave them. If only they would wait for God's timing. If only they would wait for the ways of the Lord, then they would get a king. Listen, they would get the King of Kings. And think about the King of Kings. They would discover that God would give them a king that would not take. A king that would give and give and give to the point of death and death on a cross, where he would give his very own life that they might live. Not a king that would exploit them, a king that would give them unfathomable love and grace, would save them forever and return to them and gather them and bring them to where he is forever in perfect peace and glory. Listen, not a king that would enslave. No, a king that would set the captives free. A king that would break open the prison doors and allow them to go never to be enslaved again. This is the king that God will send. He's the King of Kings. His name is Jesus Christ. And he came to give his life. And he came to pour out his grace. And he came to set us free. Jesus Christ, as the King of Kings, died for you. He suffered God's wrath for you. He rose from the dead, defeating death for you. And one day, so very soon, he's gonna return for you if you believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. And you will see him riding on the clouds, however that works. And he will look you in the eyes and say, come, my child, it's time. Come with me to everlasting life and perfection and glory. You lived at a cost now, but now the fun begins. Now the glory awaits. It will be so, so worth it. Warning sign, don't die. Welcome sign, everlasting life. Only through one King, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray so much that you are working, moving, convicting. You are warning and welcoming. Lord, we live in such important times. I pray you will motivate us and move in us again with such a beautiful conviction, seen through dependence and delight in you. Oh, Lord, bless your church right now. Give us courage, give us compassion, give us love and humility, but also give us such clarity. Such clarity. Thank you for your words. Amazing. You're amazing. We pray you use this song now as a wonderful bow to a very needed service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.